If you would look at verse number 11, I want to start reading there. Judges 6, and I'll read a couple of verses starting at verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You got to understand something. When God makes a proclamation unto you, the enemy is going to do everything he can to steal that thought, to steal that proclamation, to try and cause it not to be manifest in your life. And there are some things that we have to do to make it a reality, to make our flesh line up with what the Lord is saying. And I want to show you tonight how to get your flesh to line up with what God has said. Because, you know, our mind, amen, there's a commercial out, is a terrible thing to waste. Mm-hmm. And it is when you're wasting it just thinking on cardinal things. That's a waste of time. But if we can just think like God thinks, imagine what we can do. But the angel made a proclamation. He said, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now you got to understand something. He's hiding. And he's threshing wheat by the moonlight. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Oh God, you can look around and see all of the things that's working negatively, but can you see what God is doing in the midst of the negativity? See, God is setting you up for a miracle, and not only that, but he's setting himself up to proclaim that I'm God. And there's none beside me. Hallelujah. Gideon said unto him, My Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord had forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? My God. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midians as one man. Look at somebody and say, God is something else. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to talk about the battle is fought in the trenches. The battle is fought in the trenches. I want to kind of deal with some stuff because your mind is like an open field. And if you don't do certain things to sustain it, the enemy will infiltrate your mind and mess it up. Hallelujah. We already know that in many instances, the enemy has come into this ripe vineyard that we call our mind, this rich, fertile soil, and planted tares among the wheat. And so when God drops a thought in your heart, there is something to come up, even in your mind, to try and choke it out. But you got to make up your mind that what God has for me, it is for me. And I will let nothing, no devil, no demon, no negative thought, not even what I see, stop me from being what God wants me to be. If we can just look at even the things that's in front of us and look at it like God would have us to look at it, my God, you could get a miracle. But I want to talk about five things tonight. I want to talk about five things tonight that will get us into the position we need to be in so that we can be more than conquerors. I'm going to talk about the prayer closet. I'm going to talk about the study chamber. I'm going to talk about the mind, confession, and I want to talk about work. If you look at this text, and I tried to get away from this. I tried to use some other scriptures and other texts, and I tried to use some other verses to build the sermon on, but God wouldn't let me go that way. Just kept putting Gideon, kept bringing me back to this point right here. And as I began to read it, I began to see why God really wanted me to stay in this text and deal with this individual, because he had every reason to believe that he could not succeed based on what was going on in his life. And many of you may not tell me, but you've said it before. You have great things that you want to do for God. And it seems like every time you get a leg up to do something for God, something else is thrown into the equation to cause you not to be able to do what you want to do. And here Gideon has been addressed by the angel of the Lord. He has told him that he is a mighty man of valor. And he has been so beat down because of what has transpired in his life and in his nation that he can't even see who he is any longer. Oh, God, help me to preach this tonight. Some of you are so beat down. Some of you have had people speak so much negativity. You've had so many negative experiences in your life that you are beat down and you can't even see who you are. You've allowed, amen, the circumstances of life, the vicissitudes of life to cause you not to be who God built you to be. But I hear God saying the battle is fought in the trenches. In the trenches of your mind. Battle is fought, amen, in the rich nutrient soil of your mind. If you can learn how to fight, you can learn how to be the child that God wants you to be. And so the thing that the Lord is saying on tonight, in particular to the church and in particular to those of us that are here tonight, and those of you that are listening by way of the internet, a trench is an excavation. Amen. It is a place that has been, amen, cleared out. Amen. It is a place where, a ground has been heaped up on one side and the other to fortify the pit or the ditch that's been dug. An excavation, often with excavated earth, banked up in front and on the backside, used as a defense against the enemy. A trench is a fortified position with trenches as a defense against enemy fire. We need to have a place, a fortified place, where we can go to and be, amen, free from the defenses of the enemy. I don't know if y'all hearing what I'm saying. We need to have a place that we can go to and gather our thoughts. Even though rounds are being fired over our head and all around us. Because where we're at is fortified. Even though all that negative stuff is going on around us, amen, it's not consuming us. It's not coming near unto us. Because we're in the fortified place. You're going to have to start fortifying your mind. You're going to have to start excavating some stuff and building up an area around your mind so that your mind, amen, amen, which is the resting place, the seat, amen, of all that who you are in essence. It is the abode of the consciousness. If you can build up a fortified area around your mind so that even when the rounds are being fired, you can still think clearly, then you can be the child that God wants you to be. But there's some things that must transpire so you can get to this point. And the first point is, you need a prayer closet. Now, I know what you've been taught in the past concerning the prayer closet. But let me make it a little bit plainer for you. Because if it's not made plain, you're going to have to deal with this stuff just like Gideon did. Amen. And God's going to have to go through a whole lot of stuff to get done what he needs done. But we're going to have to learn how to be available for God. Amen. At a moment's notice. Look at somebody and say, I got to be available for God. on a moment's notice. Prayer closet. A prayer closet is a private place where earnest requests and communication with God can be made and stored. See, you don't have no closet just, amen, to have it in the house. It's used for something. You hang clothes up in there. You store shoes in there. Sometimes you put important papers in there. Closet is a place also for storage. You ought to have a prayer closet where you can store up some past experiences. Oh, God, help me. Some past evidences. You ought to have a prayer closet, amen, where you can go in and put your helmet of salvation. Oh, my God. Your garment of praise. In your prayer closet, you ought to have some oil in there. I can't get no help. This. Prayer closet. A prayer closet is not a room. It's a state of mind where desires meet fulfillment. Oh, God. A place where fiction becomes fact. I would. I want to do something, and it's, you know, it's in a fictorial place in your mind. But see, God can make fiction a reality. I can't get no help. Let me put it in some language y'all can understand. He can make a desire a fulfillment. What's a desire in your heart, he can cause it to be a fulfillment. It can go from being just a thought to reality. I wish I could get that BMW to driving it. Y'all can't get no help with this. A prayer closet is not a room. It's a state of mind where desires meet fulfillment. Oh, if we could just get out of this stuff that we've been taught. People tell you to go into the prayer closet. You mean to tell me if you ain't at home, you can't pray it in? Amen. Come on, well, that's my prayer closet at the house. I got to go there so I can get some stuff done. No, baby, you need to graduate from just having a room to a state of being. You see, that's the problem with a lot of people in the church. Because everything is not conveniently set up so they can have access to it, they can't move in the dimension that God wants to work in. God don't want to work in the natural. He wants to work in the supernatural. Amen. I got to have a closet with me that I can carry with me. Amen. I might need to pray, and I'm not at home. I might need to pray. Amen. And I'm not, amen, in my state, and I can't get back to the house. I might need to pray. Amen. Prayer closet is not a room, it's a state of mind where desires meet fulfillment. And so, one of the things that we need to understand, if we're going to fight this war the way God wanted it fought, it's got to be fought in the trenches. It's got to be fought in that fortified place. It's got to be fought in that place of confidence based on our relationship with God. There are too many people, amen, that have not quite understood what God was saying. So God is saying the battle is fought in the trenches. And I'll make it a little bit plainer when I start giving some natural analogies. But just hang on a second. Prayer closet. Point number two is a study chamber. The battle is fought in the trenches. Amen. Trenches. A study chamber makes up a trench for the child of God. Study chamber is a preparatory place where investigations and specific purpose is carried out. So you got to understand something. What transpires is when the soldier is in the classroom, they get theory. But when they get out into the field, it becomes practicum then. They have to practice what they've been taught. They have to literally engage their mind and pull it into reality so that it can sustain them in the time of war. If you don't have nothing in your mind, you can't get nothing out of your mind. If you hadn't prepared yourself to do what God has said must be done, then when the time comes to be challenged, you ain't going to have nothing, amen, on the inside of you to help you. That's why Gideon couldn't see who he was. But God had to take him back to school. God had to take him back to the classroom and show him who he was. But I hear God saying tonight, get in your study chamber. Get in that preparatory place where you can investigate. And a preparatory place where investigations and a specific purpose is carried out. When you study, it is for the design purpose, the divine purpose of finding out who God is and what he's called you to do so that you can do what he wants you to do. Now, when you know who God is, there ain't no doubt that you can do what he told you to do. God said, by one man, you are going to deliver Israel. But he said in himself, how am I going to do that? You don't know God. You hadn't been to that preparatory place that God has specifically designed to empower you. And if you don't have no study chamber, when God tells you to do something, amen, if you don't have a study chamber, when God drops something in your lap that he wants you to do, you will not be prepared to carry it out. Amen. That's why what God has called us to do is not based on a number. It's based on our surrender to the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Some folk can't have church unless there's a whole lot of folk around. I can't have church if God ain't around. Amen. Hallelujah. The house can be filled with folk, and God ain't there, and I can't have church. It ain't based on a number. It's based on God, the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is not only liberty, but there is power. There is deliverance. There is unction and anointing. There is deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. And until we understand that we got to have a prayer closet and a study chamber, we won't be able to fight in the trenches, in the fortified place. Hallelujah. Because we won't have sense to dig a trench and fortify a place for battle. Hallelujah. Point number three is the battle is fought in the trenches. It's fought in the mind. The trench can't be erected properly if the mind ain't thinking right. When I say mind, I'm talking about thought process. Amen. As a man thinketh, as a woman thinketh in her heart or in his heart, so are they. Amen. If your mind is messed up, amen, if you're not thinking properly, if you're not, amen, if your mind is not engaged with God, if you're not spiritually linked up or hooked up to God, amen, if you're not plugged into him, you're not thinking right. Hallelujah. And I want you to know something. You cannot do supernatural things and your mind is not right. See how God is, and this how God is. God is a good God, and if you can visualize it, if your mind can comprehend it, amen, then God can give it to you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something now. Y'all listen to what I'm saying. If you can see yourself as more than a conqueror based on what God has said in his word, you can be more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not just talking about something speaking out in the air like these folk have folk speaking out in the air. That's why nothing ain't happened, and they having to manufacture stuff to make it happen. But when you base your life, your calling, when you base who you are on the word of God as it has been spoken to you, and you can visualize it, you can comprehend it, you receive it, you stand on it, you confess it, amen, guess what? You can be it. Hallelujah. He had never led an army before in his life. Had never been a general before. Had never been to the military schools. As a matter of fact, he was the low man on the totem pole. He was looked down on. But for some reason, God saw he had potential. God saw he had possibilities. And God said, go down and tell my servant that he is a mighty man of valor. Right, and tell him that he's going to single-handedly, because I'm holding him up, going to bring Israel
out on top. You got to have the right kind of mind. You got to have the right thought process. Somebody say, bring that word, Pastor. Your mind got to be right. You can't let nobody get in your mind and mess your mind up. Hallelujah. Some are so intimidated by personalities that we can't even fake right. But I want you to know something. If God call you, God will give you the power to carry it out. If you'll just think on these things. My. Whatsoever thing, can I paraphrase it and break it down? Whatsoever thing is ordained of God. Whatsoever thing God called you to do. Whatsoever thing God empowered you to do. Whatsoever things God called you. See, God said that we are a holy people. God said that we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Why don't you think on that? Instead of thinking on you ain't got no money. Instead of thinking on what other folks saying about you. Instead of thinking about your condition. Why don't you claim what God has said? Hallelujah. It's all about thought process. It's all about your mind. And I want you to know something. When the battle gets into a rage, you're going to have to be ready to move out. Hallelujah. And if your mind has been fortified, hey, glory, if you're down in the trench of God, you ain't worried about what's going on around you. Because if God is with you, who can be against you? Oh, Lord, the battle is fought in the trenches, in the fortified place, with the person that has a prayer closet, a study chamber, a heavenly thought process. And you got to understand something about this next point right here. The battle is fought in the trenches. It's fought with our confession. Our open acknowledgement of a declared thing. See, not enough of us openly acknowledge what God has said about us. No, we openly acknowledge what we feel or what we think or what other folks have said about us. But we won't openly acknowledge what God has said. But I want you to know something. Your confession got power. Your confession is just like honey that's been spread out. If it's the wrong kind of confession, it'll bring the wrong kind of stuff. But if it's the right kind of confession, it'll bring the right kind of stuff. I wish somebody would help me tonight. Open acknowledgement of a declared thing. That's what a confession is. An open acknowledgement of a declared thing. What did God say, Gideon? What did God say? God said you're a mighty man of valor, Gideon. He's not worried about all this other stuff, about what has befallen you. He's not worried about all of this stuff that hadn't happened that you thought needs to happen. What did God say? I know the Midian Knights are there. And I know they have encamped around about you. And I know they've been thieving and robbing, stealing and killing. But what did God say, Gideon? You got to understand something. If God ain't worried about it, you shouldn't either. Hallelujah. Confession, an open acknowledgement of a declared thing. What are you, Brother Richardson? I'm blessed and highly favored. Paul, your Brother Richardson, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a lender and not a borrower. Paul, your Brother Richardson, I'm part of a holy nation, part of a royal priesthood. Paul, your Brother Richardson, I'm part of a blood-washed family that's been empowered by the Lord our God. An open acknowledgement of a declared thing. See, we got to start confessing what God done said and not what we feel or what we see or what we think. You might not be able to see it, Gideon, but confess it anyhow. You might not be possessing it, Gideon, but walk like you got it anyhow. Hallelujah, because God has declared it. The battle is fought in the trenches. And so your confession is important. And then our last point is worth. We got to have a work ethic. See, some of us just won't sit around and wait on God to do it. But if you want to have a fortified place, you got to get your shovel and get out and dig you a trench. And take that extra dirt, that dirt that came out of that hole, and pack it around you so you can have a fortified work area. I can't get no help with this. Work is a purposeful effort. Don't you realize that your work ethics has power? When you work like God say you ought to work, God said that's exerted influence. Whew, good God, y'all missed that. Every time that shovel go down into that hole and throw some dirt out, that's exerted influence. That's saying I'm building a fortified place. I'm obeying the word of God. I might not be able to understand why I'm doing it, but God said I gotta do it. I might not be able to see the significance of it, but God said do it. I need a fortified place. Work is exerted influence. And you know what the Bible said? Faith without exerted influence. I know you missed that. Faith without work is dead. You just can't stand up and confess it and ain't got no work to go along with it. You got to work it out. Work out your soul salvation. Amen. Work at being what God wants you to be. Give God something to work with. If he ain't got nothing to work with, if you just whining and moaning and groaning and complaining, amen, and talking about what you don't have and how hard everything is, God can't work with negativity. But he can show enough work with some exerted influence that goes along with proper confession. A prayer room. A study chamber. Lord. Hey, glory, glory. The battle is fought in the trenches. Everybody say the trenches. The fortified place. Let's take a look at this. Let me bring this thing on in. Look here, verse number 12 in Judges, the 6th chapter. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Has anybody had a visitation? Has God at one time made an announcement unto you? Did God tell you something? Did he tell you that you're going to have your own business, Sister Antoine? Believe it. Believe it. Did he tell you you're going to write books? Believe it. But just wait on him. Don't do it before he tell you to do. You're just going to waste money, effort, and time. Wait on him. Don't try and make nobody think you're a wonder. Just wait on God. It's all about timing. You got to work some stuff out before God can allow some stuff to happen. And here God is. Now notice this. God had to wait until the Midianites had come upon the children of Israel and had backed them into a corner and had them in a place where they were literally, amen, stealing their own food to eat by. Ain't that something? It was their own food. And they had to go by night, Sister Wolf, and take their own food. Ain't that something? The terrible predicament to be in. The devil got a lot of folk, but God had to wait until their backs was up against the wall. makes my mind go back. Jephthah was the son of a whore. He was the son of a prostitute. And because he didn't have the same mama as the boys did, they didn't want him to have the same rights and privileges they had. And so they kicked him out of the house. But I want you to know something. When God anoints you, when God empower you, sooner or later you got to come back. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come back to the source. And the enemy of the Lord, the enemy of the children of Israel had come upon them. And here they are, without a general, without a leader, without an individual that had been qualified by God to carry out a specific task. Hey, glory. And they said, what we going to do? And one of them said, we got to go get Jephthah. And so they went down to get him. And he said, what y'all want with me now? I wasn't good enough to stay in the house. I wasn't good enough to stay in the family. Wasn't good enough to be a part of the tribe. Y'all didn't even want me in the community. I had to vacate. I had to leave. I had to come out from among you all. But now you need me. What's to say I'm going to be able to stay once I deliver you? Look at this man's faith. He knew what he was capable of doing. I want to tell you something tonight. Amen. When you get to this place right here, when you understand where the battle is fought at, when you understand if you prepare yourself properly, amen, while the enemy is firing and on the offensive, you'll have a defensive posture, a defensive structure where you can wait on the voice of God and still be safe. And when the time of engagement comes, you can move out and do what God has called you to do. You see, whether you know it or not, there is an ordered place for the battle to be fought. Yes, it is. There is an ordered place for the battle to be fought. You might think it's going to be fought right here, but the battle ain't going to be fought right here. It's going to be fought out there. See, you can say, bring that word, Pastor, in here. But when the pastor ain't around, can you bring that word? Can you speak to your mountain? Oh, I can't get no help with this. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The angel knew he ain't had nothing. But the essence of a man, the essence of a woman does not lie in abundance of stuff. Successes or failures. It relies, amen, within the ineptitude of their of faith in the God that they serve. So Gideon started whining and complaining. And notice what God did. God just kept on talking. Getting talking about, if the Lord be with me, why all this stuff happening? That's not a good question to ask. Because that has nothing to do with who God is. God ain't worried about none of that stuff. Because he already know what the end process, what the end result's going to be. Amen. But getting around talking and saying, my Lord, if the Lord be with me or with us, why then is all this befallen us? Why are folks leaving and lying? Oh, God. Why folks won't come? Why are they scared to come? Why they say they're going to come and then don't come? Why this? Why that? We can go through a whole lot of scenarios. But God want to know why you don't believe what I said. Why you don't believe what I said. Why you wasting time asking me questions that are really of no concern. Now notice this right here. Where's all his miracles which our fathers told us he, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord had forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. He never addressed it. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He round whining and complaining and wondering, and God say, I got something for you to do. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. He said, surely I'll be with you. Don't worry about all this other stuff. The battle is fought in the trenches. You got to have a portable prayer closet. You got to have a study chamber, a preparatory place. You got to have proper thought process. You got to have an open acknowledgement of a declared thing, proper confession. And you need to have purposeful effort, exerted influence, work cohabitating with your faith. And you see, that's one of the things that our brother here, Gideon, didn't have. And because he didn't have it, he was asking all the wrong questions. And he was responding improperly to what God had already declared what was going to happen. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and an epith of flour. The flesh he put in baskets, and he put forth broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it unto him, or presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Check out verse number 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Now go over the verse to chapter number 7. And let's take a look at this right here. Look at verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand had saved me. See, you got to understand some stuff. And I don't think we quite understand it, Bible believers, still yet. See, God, what he wants to do. And Elder Wolf said this a couple of months ago. And I think Elder Crump said this a couple of months ago as well. Well, more than a couple of months ago. But anyway, I recall him saying something about this too. What God want to do, he don't want no man to get no glory out of it. He want to get the glory out of it. And sometimes, you know, you had the wrong folks that's working in conjunction with what God want to do. And so he got to move them so that he can do what he want to do. He said, you got too many folk with you. You got too many folk with you. I can't do what I want to do with all these folk around. You got to understand something too. Everybody that's with you ain't really with you. A lot of times you got folk with you and they fighting against you. Because they want the glory. They want to say they did it. And if you don't put them in the place where they can get it at, they fight. And so God realized what he was working with. And the Lord told Gideon, he said, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. I know the spirit of some of these folks that's with you. He says in verse number 3, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. And they returned to the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. The Lord said in the Gideon, the people that are yet, the people are yet too many, bring them down to the water. And I will try them for thee there. And I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Look at God. Somebody ought to be encouraged tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to understand something. If you got some folks that's getting ready to engage the enemy, and if you got one individual that's not in the fortified place, that's a weak spot. And the whole body could be in jeopardy of being destroyed. God knows what he's doing when he started weeding folks out. Because what we're getting ready to move off into, amen, it's going to take a nucleus of people, amen, who are in the fortified place. People who want to go. I don't want nobody backing me up who don't have my back. I don't want nobody in the trench with me who's scared, amen, and don't rely on God to be their God. Some folks, amen, the right folk can come up and say something to them and they'll cur out like a cur dog. Amen. But see, when you're God's people, it don't make no difference who it is. They can say what they want. Amen. And you'll stand there and defy them. Just like David said. David said, is there not a cause? This uncircumcised Philistine that's standing up here talking about my daddy, if it costs me my life, it's worth it. Is there not a cause? Is there not something that's bigger than life? Something that's bigger than death? Yes, it is. There's a cause down on the inside. God said, this cause that I have, I can't have weak-kneed, jelly-backed, unsold-out individuals. Hallelujah. I'd rather have 4 or 5 good folks who made up their mind to sell out and serve God than a house full of weak-kneed, jelly-backed individuals who more concerned about their self than the cause. Hallelujah. So he brought him down. Look at verse number 5. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue like a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bowed down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lappeth, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. Look at God. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth, will I save you and deliver the Midianites unto thine hand. Now you got to understand something about this whole situation here. The Midianites were just like ants on an ant mound. When they literally came in, they stripped the land. When they would come in on their raids during the harvest period, they would come in and literally strip all the fruit, all of the vegetables. They would take everything. Like locusts had come in when they would come in. Multiplicities of these demons. And God is going to take 300 men. Look at somebody and say, God men. He's going to take 300 God men and deliver Israel. And it came to pass that night, look down at verse number 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Verse number 10, and you got to catch this. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be stricken to go down unto the host. See, the thing that's transpiring right now is we're not privileged to the information that people are saying about us. We think that we are weak and feeble. We think that we have no spiritual clout. We think, amen, that everything been said about us is negative. But I want you to know something. They that are with us are more than they that are against us. The gentleman that came to the church this morning, after service, he came up and I was privileged to some information that he said. And he said, oh, yeah, they've been talking about this church. And oh, yeah, they told me to come down here. They told me that there is a spirit of excellence down here. They told me that there is power down here. They told me that God is in this place. And he said, of a sure, when I walked in, I know they wasn't lying. He said, the Lord is in this place. Somebody is testifying. Somebody's talking. And just because they're not in our encampment, amen, that's the main reason why we're not privileged to a lot of information. But you got to know something. Even your enemies are sitting around the campfire talking about the potency of God that's in us. Let me bring it on in. Let me bring it on in. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. Good God Almighty. And said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley tumbled into the host of the Midians and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay alone. And this fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. This ain't nothing else but God anointing his vessel to carry out what he's been foreordained to do. I want you to know something. We might be low in number. We might not have what a lot of other folks have when they're talking about success. But you can't buy the anointing. You can't proposition God to get a God leader. My. Amen. You can't con God into allowing you to get into a position to fight for his beloved people. This fella answered and said, this is nothing else save the son of Gideon, the son of Joash. Look at this. They knew his name, knew his daddy's name. A man of Israel, for in his hand had God delivered Midian and all the hosts. The enemy in the camp prophesied. Somebody ought to get happy. Somebody ought to be rejoicing. Because the enemy in the camp, talking about the saints, the enemy in the camp, worried, wondering, is this the night? Is this the time? I'm going to bring this on in. Look at verse number 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream. God said, you need to go down and listen to what your enemies are saying about you. It's going to strengthen your hand. It's going to encourage your heart. It's going to validate what I've been saying all the time. You are a mighty man of valor. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshiped. My God, when he heard it, the only thing he felt like doing is just worshiping God. Hallelujah to your name. I bless you, Lord. I give sacrifices unto your name. He worshiped. And after he got through worship, the Bible said he returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, strengthen yourself, get yourself together, raise up out of that stupor, get your mind together. It's time to engage the enemy, because the Lord is with us. Arise, for the Lord had delivered into your hands the host of the Midians. Can I break it down? Get a good look. Look out there. Look at your pundits. Look at the naysayers. Look at the ones that tried to do you harm. Look for the last time. Because you fit to have the final say. This is the last time they're going to laugh. This is the last time they're going to make fun. This is the last time they're going to try and come in and take what we got. This is the last time. Ooh-wee. This is the last time. I wish somebody would put their hand on their hip and say, this is the last time the devil laugh at me. Arise. For the Lord had delivered into your hand the host of arise. Get up off of your stupor. Come out of the mully grubs. Quit complaining. Stand up. Arise. Take strength. Come on. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand. And with empty pitchers and lumps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look at me, or look on me, and do likewise. Right. Woo! My. See, when you've been to the fortified place, when you've been to the fortified place, and you've done the stuff that you need to do, you become fortified. And so when your mind is properly encapsulated, encased within the framework of God, when God calls you to go out and do something, you're not intimidated by what you see. Like grasshoppers on a mountainside, 300 of us. I'm not going to question what God said. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Split them up. Split them up. 100 right here. 100 right there. And 100 over here. Lord. I want you to get a trumpet in one hand. And an empty pitcher with lamps within the pitchers. I want you to look on me. And do likewise. See, he had a plan. He wasn't out there just improvising. But God had dropped something in his spirit. And he had come, amen. He had come at, and become at peace with who God had made him. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. Now notice this now. Gideon said, when I come to the outside of the camp. See, he's the mighty man of valor now. He ain't gonna send nobody to do his stuff. He going. Just look on me and do what I do. Oh, Bible believers, if you hear me tonight, child of God, if you hear me tonight, I hear God saying, just look on your leader and do what he do. If he ain't wavering, if he ain't wandering, if he is solid, If he's standing on the word, if he's got a vision, if he's got a revelation, if he's got marching orders from the Lord, look on your leader, and you can draw strength from your leader. Because where we going, you can't focus on what you see, but you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. When I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. Keep your eyes on me. Look at somebody and say, keep your eyes on the leader. And when I blow the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Somebody just need to holler, the sword of the Lord and Bible believers. We on our way, Bible believers. We on our way. We're getting ready to step out in some, amen, into an area, amen, that seemed like we're outnumbered. Seem like we don't have what we need to carry out what God has called us to do. But if we'll just obey, keep our eyes on the leader, and say, the soul of the Lord and Bible believers, we can make it. I got to bring this all in. And so Gideon, everybody say, so Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And when they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpet in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And when they stood, every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. The Lord magnified their voices. The Lord allowed the glare to hit not only the trumpets, but to intensify. And all of a sudden, it looked like an amassment of angels. Looked like a man. It was more of them than it was of the Midianites. And panic hit them. Fear hit them. Notice this. God allowed them to know themselves into a stupor, because they thought that the children of Israel are going to respond as they did in past times. See, the devil crazy. He think we're going to respond like other organizations have responded in similar situations. But he got to understand something. This is the Lord's people. We've been to the fortified place, and we've become fortified since we've been there. And as God began to work, they turned on one another and messed up each other. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They fell on each other, fought each other, killed up one another, and the ones that did survive, the men of Israel gathered themselves together at Naphtali, and out of Asher and out of Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. And when they saw the leadership
abilities, the anointing that was on Gideon, when he made the pronouncement, come on, y'all, let's come together and let's go after our enemies. They amassed themselves and went out. Oh, I want you to know something. The battle is fought in the trenches, in the fortified place. And we have to build a fortified place. And how do we build a fortified place? With a prayer closet. You remember, prayer closet is not a room, it's a state of mind where desires meet fulfillment. We got to have a study chamber, a preparatory place where investigations and specific purposes carried out. We got to have proper mind, the proper mind, proper thought process. We must think like God, and in return we will act like God. We must have proper confession, an open acknowledgement of a declared thing that's been spoken by the mouth of God. And we must have proper work ethics, purposeful effort, exerted influence. We must mix works with our faith. Everybody standing, I'm quitting.